The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Aubrey, we love to talk to other pastors on the show here. And with that in mind, we're excited to talk to the lead senior pastor of Christ Community Church in Kansas City, also the president of Made to Flourish. And we're excited to talk to him about his new book called The Flourishing Pastor, Recovering the Lost Art of Shepherd Leadership. His name is Dr. Tom Nelson. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And it's great to be with you and Aubrey. Wonderful.
We are so glad to have you with us. And Tom, we want to dive into the book and also your organization. But before we do that, so that our audience can get to know you a little bit better, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pastor in Kansas City. I've been here actually 33 years. My wife and I left. Isn't that amazing? My wife and I left seminary and moved to Kansas City and began Christ Community in a little apartment. On a good Sunday morning, there were three members, including Liz, me, and my son, Schaefer. So we've been here. We have a delightful opportunity to serve a remarkable congregation in Kansas City. So, yeah, I'm primarily a pastor. Love being in Kansas City. This is kind of where I've lived for a long time. And I also serve a wonderful organization you mentioned called Made to Flourish. It's really designed to help pastors really integrate faith work and economic wisdom for the flourishing of their communities. We're passionate about the church and about pastors and about the common good, which I know you are as well.
There you go.
Yep. I like that. I like that plug for the common good.
Yes. There,
well, we are so excited to talk to you about your new book, The Flourishing Pastor. And, you know, we don't even necessarily know all of the content of your book yet, but just hearing that title, I'm thinking, wow, after 2020 and 2021 seems like a perfect book for such a time as this. Can you talk to us before we even dive into the book, just how are pastors doing right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we reflected, we're all pastors here, the three of us. So yeah, it's been really, really hard. It's hard for lots of people in our culture, but I think pastors particularly, like mental health professionals, have felt a weight of people's brokenness and hurt. My wife says it like this. I think it's exactly right. She said COVID has really amplified things at a high level, a high decibel level. So pastors are tired. They have decision fatigue. They need encouragement. We need the Lord's strengthening right now. We need other pastors to help us. And we need to have the right navigational guide, because if we're off on the timeless guide, then we're going to be really in trouble. So we really need to get back to the basics and to what is timeless, not just what is timely.
Yeah. And as we told you off air, Aubrey and I are both pastors, and Tom,
yes, you know, wonderful.
These last 2 years of COVID, including right now, have been just a roller coaster, right? They've just been, there have been times I've loved my church and my job. There's been times I've wanted to quit in the last 2 years, right? And so what would you say? We have lots of pastors who listen. How do we avoid that kind of up and down of attendance, of budgets, of this? To ask it a better way, maybe what are some of the things that you would say this is what you need in your life to flourish and to be able to keep going?
Yeah, well, I unpack this in the book. In fact, the book was, started before COVID, actually, with IBP. But I think there's some timelessness. I would say a couple, three things quickly. One is that the greatest need we have is not to lead well, it's to be led well. And we've got to get back to being led by the Good Shepherd. We need Psalm 23 and the Good Shepherd like never before. You know, I didn't understand Psalm 23 as a leadership text that I do now. So I would just want to encourage every pastor, every person here, that all of us need a Good Shepherd. We need Christ to guide and lead us. We need to be led well. We need to be drawn to deeper intimacy with Christ, not just effectiveness in what we do. So I really focus on deepening that intimacy, being led well, being shepherded well. And I hope that encourages people. Of course, we need resilience. We need good decision. We need wise Sabbath. to renew ourselves. We need a community. We never lead alone. I mean, that's one of the greatest dangers. We need other people who are safe, who are cheering us on, who will speak truth into our life. This is not a new thing, but we do need community. We need to focus on intimacy first, not accomplishment as the first goal.
And with that in mind, Tom, I would actually love to hear a little bit about your organization, Made to Flourish, because I know part of what you do is encourage pastors and some of the things that you just mentioned. Can you talk about why you exist and what you do?
Yeah, I can. And again, I hope, especially pastors who may be listening, we have a wonderful opportunity for you to be a part of a national network. We're a larger national network. We're 6 years old. We were birthed with the hope of helping pastors flourish, but helping pastors, particularly in the area of whole life discipleship. We use the language to integrate faith, work, and economic wisdom for the flourishing of their communities. It's a national organization. Pastors across the country. I think there are about 5,000 pastors in our network right now. And it's a great community to be a part of. You can go to our website, madetoflourish.org. You can sign up. There's no cost. We send you resources. We have wonderful funding to just care for pastors and help them be more effective and more intimate with Christ. Mm. It's a great opportunity for any pastor.
Again, that's at madetoflourish.org, yes. madetoflourish.org. Tom, I would love to hear some of your story. You've been a pastor for a while, like you said, and when was a time maybe where you, to use your language, weren't flourishing, where things were just hard? And how did you get out of that? What was your story in this?
Yeah, thank you for asking, Brian. I think there's a couple things. You know, most of our greatest growth is when we fail, right? Mm-hmm. Or hardship. So I've had a couple pretty big failings, I would say, just as a pastor. I'll say one is that about 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago, I stood before my congregation and said to them, you know, I need your forgiveness. And you could have heard a pin drop, of course, right? When pastors do that, you know, we go, oh, goodness, you know, like it's moral failure or financial malfeasance or something. But I was really serious. I realized that I told them I've been committing pastoral malpractice, not out of intention. And that might sound provocative to you, but here's what I've been doing because of an impoverished theology and an impoverished understanding of my particular role of whole life discipleship, is that I've been spending the majority of my time equipping you for the slimmest minority of your life. What I really had was a massive Sunday to Monday gap. Hmm. And so that was a big change. And I wrote Work Matters that came out of that, The Economics of Your Love, to help focus on pastors equipping their congregation for their Monday worlds. Hmm. That's the biggest importance. Obviously, we as pastors, we should care about Sunday, right? I mean, that's a part. But I was much, transparently, you guys, I was much more concerned if you looked into my heart motivation and my priorities and my prayers, if I'm very transparent, I was much more concerned how well I did on Sunday than how well God's people did on Monday. Mm. And that changed just about everything at the church that I served for the last almost 20 years.
And Tom, with that in mind, I mean, I think that's probably where a lot of pastors are, if they're willing to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to necessarily ask this, but if pastors are listening and they sort of recognize that in themselves, what do you then do?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what I've done. And again, out of my own failure, I had to go back and make sure I had a theological conviction that guided my pastoral practice, my pastoral paradigm. Because for me, that was where I had to wrestle it. My theology was somewhat impoverished that led to a Sunday to Monday gap, that led to me not helping intentionally, much more intentionally, my preaching and my prayers and my discipleship pathways and my pastoral care to really focus on helping God's people really be called and equipped for their Monday worlds. I really believe that all of us are priests as Christians, right? The priesthood of believers. But I wasn't operating that way. So I'm just saying, I think we have to get back to what the Bible teaches and our role in equipping the saints for the work of service. And if you know that in Ephesians, it's not just inside the church. The focus that Paul goes is marriage and work, right? Mm-hmm. It's all of life. So I guess what I would say is I would have pastors to be humble, to be teachable, to look at what scripture teaches, and then say, how is my pastoral calling aligned with that? Mm. And if it isn't, then I need to change my language, my priorities, my preaching, if I'm preaching, my discipleship pathways to align more with equipping people for Monday. Many of us have a Sunday to Monday gap. And one of our goals is to narrow that.
That's really good. Again, Dr. Tom Nelson, lead senior pastor of Christ Community Church in Kansas City, president of an organization called Made to Flourish, and the author of a new book, The Flourishing Pastor, Recovering the Lost Art of Shepherd Leadership. What would you say to the congregant, to the person who has that disconnect? They're like, I've never really thought of my job and my faith tied together at all. What would you say to just the congregant who's listening right now, who maybe has that disconnect?
Well, what I would want to say is that their work really matters to God. That God has called them. I mean, I'm not making it easy. Work is hard, and it's a mixed bag of the good, bad, and ugly. But we know that we're in a fallen world, and we're fallen creatures. Our employees, or our fellow employees, are fallen creatures. Our bosses are fallen creatures. But I would just simply say that God designed us with work in mind. This is before we fell into sin. You know, Genesis 1 and 2 gives us a picture that God is a worker, and we're made in his image. And a part of that is work that we're called to do. And work biblically is not primarily compensation, it's contribution. So from cradle to grave, all of us are called to contribute to God's good world, to the common good, to our neighbor, right? To honoring God in our work. So I just would say that many congregational members have not understood that the goodness of work begins in Genesis 1 and 2, not the hardness of work in Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. So we need to recover that. And then I think I would just say, remember Jesus. I mean, there's one little thing here. Remember Jesus, the perfect Son of God incarnate, spent the vast majority of his time on planet Earth as a carpenter or a blue-collar worker, honoring God, pleasing God, being fully human, fully God. And he spent 3 years as an itinerant rabbi on his way to the cross. So we just need to understand that in God's brilliant redemptive plan, Jesus spent the majority of his time working with his hands in a carpentry shop. And that should model something of the importance of our daily life. It doesn't minimize his call to the cross, right? I mean, that, I'm not minimizing that.
Yes. Right.
But just I think all of us need to understand that God created us as humans with work in mind. And yes, work is a mixture because it's fallen, but God wants us to work. And perhaps, I believe this, that in the new heavens and earth, one day we will do work.
Yeah.
It won't have thorns and thistles, though.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Tom, you know, we're living in a cultural age where we're seeing a lot of a couple things happen. Kind of big name pastors falling from grace for whatever reason, or churches that are building up their pastors in such a way that we have this sort of bizarre celebrity pastor motif that's happening everywhere. It feels like your book is a word for that. And I just wonder how, I guess twofold, how can we as church members begin not to do that? How can we look for shepherd leaders who are actually humble? And then how, as pastors, can we just remember what our call actually is instead of becoming this other thing?
Yeah, this is really important. And the book does address this directly. The first part of the book, I address impoverished paradigms of pastoral calling. Mm. If we have impoverished paradigms, of course, there's internal dynamics at work here of lack of virtue and pride and things like that. Well, I'm not minimizing that. But you're mentioning celebrity, and celebrity is one of the false paradigms or impoverished paradigms that pastors can fall into. But what I do want to say is that, you know, You can be a big frog in a big pond or a little pond, right? I mean, it's not just the size of the stage, it's the size of one's ego or one's focal point. And so, yeah, we have a lot of toxic environments today because of a false paradigm and a lack of integrity. And what I would just simply say is that pastors need to see obscurity as an opportunity, not an obstacle. They need to be very careful about visibility. I mean, if God puts you there, make sure he puts you there, because visibility and brand and image, all that stuff can really mess anybody up, So we do need a different approach. And I try to give a timeless approach of being a shepherd leader that's the model of Scripture. And one last thing I would say is that, you know, Jesus doesn't promise us a green room. He promises a basin and towel.
Amen.
And that is a very big, important understanding. Again, if God puts you in place of visibility, make sure he's done that, and then have lots of accountability and people speaking into your life, and hold it very loosely.
Yeah. Oh, such a good word. So, and Tom, I'm guessing you do this in the book, but you talk about shepherd leadership. Yeah. Could you unpack that? What's a shepherd leader look like? Because I'm guessing people will hear it and go, oh, that is different than what I'm seeing around me. Talk to us about the shepherd leader.
Yeah. And I just simply want to say that that is the primary leadership paradigm in the Bible from Old Testament, New Testament. The book is absolutely built around one text. I've never done that before. Mm. It's Psalm 78:72, and it's picturing David. Of course, David had his failings. But a post-exilic community is pictured as this is the leadership for God's covenant community. So David shepherded them, notice the paradigm, according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with skillful hands. So the idea of the shepherding paradigm is the guidance of godly leadership. It requires is under the waterline of virtue or integrity. It's a Hebrew term, lev, integrity of heart, and then skillful hands. So I unpack that throughout the book. And what I simply want to say is that the Bible tells us that not only are sheep lost, shepherds get lost too. You think about Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you know, we don't talk enough about lost shepherds. Hmm. And many of us need to find our way back home because we're lost, not just sheep. Yeah. So I do unpack it from the Old and New Testament, but particularly the Old Testament, that shepherding leadership is the primary paradigm of leadership, just like the family is the primary paradigm of all institutions and all organizations. Hmm.
And Tom, let me just ask you one more question with this in mind. If there are a lot of lost shepherds out there, or even just as we began talking, pastors who are feeling very discouraged at the moment, how can those around pastors encourage their leaders?
I think that's a brilliant question. So a couple of things I would say is be a safe place for a pastor to be safe with you. Mm-hmm. And then also be a friend. You know, pastors need friends that are safe, and encourage pastors that their identity is in Christ and that intimacy with Christ and others is the highest priority, not achievement or success. I mean, I'm all for doing it well and being a good leader, obviously.
Yeah.
But so many times pastors have internal stuff they're dealing with and then external pressure that they feel like they never measure up. Mm. Love them for who they are because Christ loves them. Because they're of an incredible worth before God, and encourage them, lastly, not just to know God, but to be known by God. You know, Paul says it to the Galatians. He says, you know, the ultimate is not just to know God, it's to be known by him.
Yes.
So encourage them with the truths of Scripture, their identity, and love them as they are, and be safe with them.
That's a great word. Again, Dr. Tom Nelson is the founder and lead senior pastor of Christ Community Church. Love to have you on again sometime to talk about how what it was like to start a church with your family. I'd love to do that.
I would love to do that. And thank you for the opportunity, Brian and Aubrey. It's a delight to visit you. And thank you for being pastors. Your work matters, too.
No, we really appreciate that.
Thanks, Tom.
I'd encourage people to go to madetoflourish.org. You can also follow them on Twitter at madetoflourish. And go pick up Tom's new book, The Flourishing Pastor, Recovering the Lost Art of Shepherd Leadership. Tom, this was wonderful. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.